and that the mountains surrounding it were part of the foothills of that massive mountain. All of the surrounding rock tilt toward Tucson, which is part of what supports that hypothesis. If you travel west from Tucson, you arrive at one of the most spectacular places in the world, called Gates Pass. Traveling along the roadway, you wouldn't know what you're about to see. You drive up, 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 turn one curve, and the next thing you know, you are driving along a sheer cliff that goes down about 100 feet and then lands in flat desert that goes out for hundreds of miles. You can see forever, it seems. Every evening at sunset, people from around the world gather at Gates Pass. They climb the rocks or they simply stand at the visitor's lookout and watch a sunset. A sight of glorious reds, oranges, blues, purples, and every shade you can imagine. Often dotted with clouds of amazing magnitude and hue. The most amazing moments are that of twilight. The sun gone, and yet the colors remain. The time that authors report fairies or the thinning of veils into other worlds as possible is in this twilight. It is a sacred and peaceful time. If you go during the monsoon season, you can smell mesquite on the wind, the vast silence of miles of desert blowing into the past, pass, and onto a city preparing for the night. This is an interstitial space, a place existing between day and night. There are many interstitial spaces in our worlds. Perhaps the ones we know best are around age. An infant is conceived and is at once the mother's body and at once not, in this weird interstitial space between being an independent being and being completely part of mother. That infant is born and is neither that mother anymore, but also not completely separated from, and not a toddler. Toddlers not quite ready for child age things, but enough to ask why that you know that they're not an infant anymore. Teenagers caught in between being children and adulthood. Young adults considered by our society, at least, to not have the wisdom yet, to be full adults in some way. Middle-aged adults fearing the great elderism coming and yet not quite adults anymore, at least in their own minds. Elders facing the reality that death will come if they are very lucky and yet still full of life. We are constantly in these in-between places, these interstitial times of our lives where we are not quite this and we are not quite that. We are always in a constant process of becoming. That is interstitial space. I have a friend who likes to say, yeah, this is the wrist, but what is this part called? It's her favorite part. It doesn't have a name, but it's an interstitial space on our body, right? I think they call this the crook of the arm, is that right? You all can talk to me, it's okay. Is this the crook of the arm? Huh? Ah, and then we have the medical professionals in the room, okay. What's this called? Doesn't have a name, all right. No fancy name for that one. Okay, so you get the idea. There are these in-between places that we often don't think about because they're part of a whole, but they are real places where life exists, and they often hold things together. Without the twilight, there is no night. Without the twilight, there is no day. On a beach, at what point does the ocean end and the land begin? Because the sand is filled with ocean water, and the sand rolls out to the sea constantly. Interstitial places. Places that are magical both and, where things come together and they're not just this or that. They are all together one. Reverend Dr. Rita Nakashima Brock writes of these interstitial spaces being real places. And she needs to make this assertion because too often we live in an either-or world. One that expects to make hard and fast choices so that we all may feel comfortable. Either you are this or you are that. Reverend Dr. Brock is a living example of someone whose life and body live in interstitial space. That is, she is Japanese and white American, who grew up in the South and the West of the United States, while also traveling to Japan throughout her life. Worlds that are often treated in our societal mythology and ethos as somehow separate and divisible, and yet many reside in places of both and, where all of that is together. What I find powerful in her message is that by defining interstitial space as real space, there is a claim for integrity, wholeness, authenticity, and legitimacy. It holds that all of us are possible. All of us are real, whether we live in those in-between places or not. Dr. Ada Maria Sazi Diaz, in her work, innovative work on Mujerista theology, titled In La Lucha, describes the experience of life, living a life of identity in that interstitial space. Born in Cuba, she moved to New York as a teenager. And she describes living a struggle between these two places, never fully Cuban and never fully American. She described being perceived as Cuban in the United States and American in Cuba. Neither community fully prepared to accept her wholeness as one person. Her body existed in an interstitial space between worlds. As she continued her research in Mujerista theology, and for those who don't know, Mujerista is a more specific version of feminist theology. There's feminist, womanist, and Mujerista. Womanist is African-American women. Mujerista is Latino, Hispanic, Cubana, and women from pretty much south of the United States. So as she continued her research in Mujerista theology, she met others who lived in these in-between spaces and began to describe the words of everyday Latina, Hispanic, Cubana women in a God of both and nature, or even all and nature. Now, I should pause because there are humanists among us, myself included, some atheists. Too often, divinity is treated as an all or nothing game in which someone can say, my God is the only real God. As Unitarian Universalists, we have moved far away from this. We have many here today who were hurt by religious communities. They had God forced upon them, or a certain ideal of God forced upon them. What we now call in this day and age, spiritual abuse. So painful was this experience that even the mention of God can be painful for them to hear. And if that is true for you, know I hear you. Still, others here find that they simply define the word God as they wish to see and understand divinity in their own unique way. Perhaps as a being on high, perhaps as the sum total of all existence in the universe. Some see it as a sacred energy binding and connecting all. Some would say the force from Star Wars. Whatever God means to you is what it means. For surely, that kind of a concept is so beyond our common knowledge that no one has the right to define it. Now, as a natural humanist, I do not believe in God as such. Yet it was through the study of divinity that I discovered some of the most powerful concepts for understanding how to improve and reimagine humanity, human relationships, and the world. One such place is from a Jewish philosopher of the 20th century named Immanuel Levinas. He talks about an inherent allergy to otherness, to people who are different, and how that seems to pervade through all of existence, all of humanity. In his book, Totality and Infinity, he writes this: metaphysics, transcendence, the welcoming of the other by the same, of the other by me, is concretely produced as calling into question of the same by the other. That is, as the ethics that accomplishes the critical essence of knowledge. And as critique precedes dogmatism, metaphysics precedes ontology. It is, therefore, to receive from the other beyond the capacity of I, which means exactly to have an idea of infinity. But this also means to be taught. The relationship with the other, or the big C conversation, is a non-allergic reaction, an ethical relation. But inasmuch as it is welcomed, this conversation is a teaching. Now, do not feel like you had absolutely no sense to make of anything I just said. I'm going to elaborate. If you understood, great. If you didn't, no worries. It took me almost a semester to be able to read that and make any kind of sense out of it. What it really says is this. Essentially, we are all inherently different. That's it. We're just different from each other, period. We are other to one another, not completely the same. Casey and I do not have the same life experience, and so when I talk to her, I will put my own assumptions on what she says, whether that's what she meant or not. If I listen deeply and truly to Casey, not in trying to make what she says fit into my paradigm or into my narrative, but truly hear her from her perspective, that is where divinity lives. It lives in the space between us, where we truly hear each other, not from our own paradigm, but from the other person's paradigm. For Levinas, that is infinity, or what some call God. Think about that a minute. You've had those moments when you've been chatting with someone and you suddenly realize you had no idea what they were talking about until now, and you really see it from their perspective, not just your own limited view. Have folks had that experience? For Levinas, that's where God resides. And for God, for Levinas, God essentially just means infinity. It means allness or ultimacy. The conversation that occurs between the other, between that person, is holy in and of itself. That conversation is healing. It's a bridge-building place and allows for the wholeness of all who participate in it. We move beyond an allergy to differences, to assumptions about what each other thinks, in such ways that it might challenge our own assumptions to a greater sense of unity, of diversity that helps us see a more whole cosmos. Another fine example of this was in a conversation in college with a friend of mine. She was teaching me Dutch, and for many months, she'd, at the end of the night, say, well, slaap lekker. Anybody know slaap lekker? Any Dutch speakers in the room? Occasionally, I come across one or two. Okay. A little. Gotcha, yes. And so slaap lekker, she always, I always interpret as sleep well, which is fine. That was fine. Till one day, she sat down and really explained the word lekker. Now, I want you to think about your most favorite food you absolutely love. I want you to imagine biting into that piece of food. And there's a moment after you take a bite, a feeling in your tongue that's just pleasure-filled. You know what I'm talking about, that moment? Everybody got that? That's lekker. The Dutch have a word for that feeling. Lekker. So you might, for example, I'm a lover of chocolate. And a particularly good chocolate, that feeling of, lekker, right? Well, slaap lekker means to sleep with that feeling in mind. So much better than sleep well. Understanding the paradigm difference opened my world to a whole new way of understanding. Not just my paradigm, but a shared paradigm. That space between us, where we are completely different from one another, is interstitial space. There are many ways to respond to interstitial space. As Unitarian Universalists, we do not run the risk of outright exclusion so much as we do the need to be right in our own personal thinking. Does that sound right? We often get attached to, I want to be right and in the know and the person who knows the stuff. I think all people get into that. And what happens in fundamentalism is it becomes an extreme where everybody should then think the way I think. But the hyper-individualism that too frequently exists within our denomination can prevent conversation. It's a pitfall to be aware of. We want the freedom of thought and deed, absolutely. But we are also a religious faith that believes that interdependence matters. That's our seventh principle. that we cannot live without the food of this earth. We cannot live without the air we breathe. We cannot live without other people in our lives. We need both independence and interdependence. And a philosophy of interstitiality asks us to let both of those be true. Independence and interdependence. To allow our individual freedom to stand and yet be prepared to be transformed by our encounters with individuals completely different from ourselves. Truthfully, this is the direction our future society is taking. Youth and young adults today live in a world of interstitial spaces. More have experience with cultures and people different from their own families than has been true in the past. And we have many multiracial and multicultural youth, young adults, and adults who embody that space of in-betweenness, who, unlike so many who have come to this country before, are not forced to assimilate and let go of the entirety of their identity to maintain their future security. In other words, the United States of 100 years, 20 years ago, or even today, required or requires assimilation into the white middle-class culture that has been the norm. Today, people of diversity have the opportunity to live into that diversity as whole beings. And we still have a long way to go. Fundamentalism of thought and belief holds strong in the United States and throughout the world. A fear of change and transformation, of being unsettled by difference, has taken hold. We see it in the rhetoric of politicians, in the rigid rules of the academy, on television, and all throughout our society. It permeates everything. Now, we have done well within this religion in understanding that we are all one, and that is important. We all smile in the same language. We need not think alike to love alike, but we have much in common. Now, this is important. There is an important step beyond that, however, that asks us to bear witness to our differences, to learn and be in interstitial spaces, in those in-between places where we can hear one another for who we are and not who we think the other is. These are real places, and in those places, ingenuity, moral imagination, authenticity, integrity, and wholeness abound. They light up life. One thing about places like Gates Pass in Tucson, there is an unstated connection between the people who gather there at that twilight time, a recognition that those who have gathered have witnessed a moment of miraculousness that will never again exist in the same way. That moment is gone and only experienced by those there gathered. The people who gather in that time become a mini community, different strangers, and yet part of a sacred space, a space unique in all of existence. That essence, that feeling of something beyond ourselves existing in that both-andness, all-andness, carries us through the night and through our days. So may we live in those in-between places. May we listen into the betweenness between you and me, you and you, and us and them. May we become aware of those in-between places in our lives and in the lives of those around us. May we be open to the wisdom that rests there and to the power of wholeness available to us all when we're open to the allness of everything. May it be so.